I'd like to start tonight with a verse in Psalms 34 and 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Do you feel pressure from the world around us? I feel pressure today of, is there even a God?
Yes.
You know, do you ever hear in discussions from our leaders in decisions that are being made, abortion, same-sex marriage, do you hear anybody say, hey, you know what, let's stop and take a look at the Bible. We need to see what God says about it. Instead, it's as if there is no God. We're able to make decisions on our own. This one says, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. You know, right in the middle of time of pressure, the Lord can be right there to help us out. And there's a couple places that I'm thinking of where that happened. Because the devil would like to come against us even in trials in our own life to say, you know what, there's no help for this one. You're on your own with this one. And it made me think about the three Hebrew children in Daniel in the third chapter. You know, it seemed like there was no help for them. And when the king even tells them, you know what, I'm going to give you another chance. And they've got that opportunity. And he's asking them in the 14th verse of Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar spake to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And he goes down through this next verse, the 15th verse, going to give them another chance. But he says, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, we kind of feel that same pressure today with the world around us. Who's that God that's going to be able to help you out of this kind of trouble? And I look at what God did for them to the point that, you know, in this one chapter, Nebuchadnezzar changed quite a bit. 29th verse, he says, I make a decree. Every people, nation, language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What a change God is able to make in a problem that comes up. There was another one. This is in 2 Kings in the 19th chapter. Hezekiah was up against a problem. And Israel was faced with the Syrian army coming against them.
Yes.
Looked like there's no help. And in fact, they went ahead and told them, there's nothing that's going to deliver you. In the 18th chapter, I'd like to take a look at a couple verses. In 18 and at the end of the 32nd verse, it says, hearken not to Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. So they're talking to the people and say, you know, Hezekiah might even tell you the Lord's going to help us out. But don't let him do that. Don't hearken to him. And on down in the 33rd verse, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And they had several places here. He said, where are the gods of them? 35th verse, who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And in other words, you're just another one of those that were soon to take over. Looked at that, and I feel the pressure today of the world around us as we desire to live for the Lord. Who's going to deliver you out of this trouble that you're in? But it went on down in the 19th chapter and in the 14th verse. Now the word has come to Hezekiah. And now Hezekiah, he's going to pray about it. And he spread the letter out before the Lord. I was looking in 19 and 14. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers. He read it. He went up into the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. And you know, how he looked at it was not, Lord, I'm afraid there's nothing you can do to help us. No, instead, his prayer was magnifying who the Lord was. You know, he didn't change the size of the Lord. All it did was magnified it in his eyes against the enemy to be. And that's what I need today. I'm not able to change the size of God. He already controls it all. It's really to help me to be able to understand how big he is for the problems that I face. And here's what Hezekiah prays. O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Doesn't sound like there's any hesitation in his mind of who's the God. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. And he has that assurance. And you know what? We need to have that assurance. And I think in the problems that come to us, how do we see God? You know, it's easy when the sun's shining. God is great. He can handle anything. What happens when the big troubles come to me? How do I see God then? I was thinking of that verse in Isaiah 6:1. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now, it's one thing if I see him high and lifted up and I don't have a problem in the world. Everything is going well. But when I am in the place that Hezekiah was in and when the three Hebrew children were in, that I still see the Lord high and lifted up and that he can handle any problem that I have that comes to me. So I was looking at a couple people in 1 Chronicles in the 29th chapter. I'd like to look at a verse here. 1 Chronicles 29:10. David is, he says he blessed the congregation, blessed the Lord before all the congregation, 10th verse, 29th chapter. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, yes, the glory, the victory, yes, the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. You know, we need to have it. I need to have that same verse just stuck in my mind.
Yes.
That even when I have some big old problems come to me, that I put all these titles to him. You got the victory.
Yes.
You got the glory. You got the majesty.
Yes.
And that is in the heaven and in the earth. It's thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all.
Yes.
And you know, in this area, I think David was pretty good. That he had done some training because his son Solomon, when he prayed in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, Solomon had a prayer before the Lord. Solomon had finished the temple and is going to dedicate it to the Lord now. And he's going to start his prayer. 8:23 of 1 Kings. You know, Solomon, remember when the Queen of Sheba came to find out was Solomon all that she had heard about? And one of the things that she was impressed with was how he approached his worship toward God. And I think that approach that she saw matched what we're about to read. In the 23rd verse, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all thy heart. And then he goes on down in the 27th verse. Will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. In that he's seeing how big God is, how great God is. And that's what I need to be able to see. So there's some verses that I'd like for us to look at over in Psalms. Psalms 145. Because, you know, I need to have some things that help me when it seems like the world around me is pressing, that there's no help from you. 145:1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I'll bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You know, we need to keep on searching because we can pick up a little bit more of his greatness as we learn more about him.
Yes.
One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, the thoughts that I think are on the negative.
Yes.
And I need to turn them to how great God is and how he is able to take care of anything. Another one is Psalms 107. 107 and the 8th verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would praise the Lord for his goodness and all of the things that he has done, the wonderful works to the children of men. And in that chapter, I believe it's 4 times that verse is said again to reinforce it, to remind them. And I really think it's also to remind me. The very last chapter in Psalms 150, again, it says in the first verse, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That we would be able to see what God has done in the past. You know, if we're not careful, I can go through a day and I don't see things around me that remind me of God. And you know what? I should be able to see God in a whole lot of things around me. Have you ever heard the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? I've heard that before, and I was reading about it today. It says it's someone that gets too involved in the details of a problem to be able to see what the big picture is. And you know, that happens to me. I can get so involved in this little problem that I have, and it starts blowing up bigger and bigger, to where I'm not able to see this God and all these verses that we have been reading, that he is exalted above everything.
Yes,
he is the one that created it all. And so I want to be able to see God. There's a verse, in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
And you know what? We can say, okay, yes, I hope to see him whenever I die and go to heaven. You know what? We can see him every day around us.
Yes.
In the natural things that he has created, we can see God in those. There's a verse in Jude, in the 20th verse of the book of Jude, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. More confidence in God of building it up. I've got some faith. I've got some belief in God. But I want to build more on that. And there are places that I believe would help us to do it, and they're very simple. And sometimes I pass them up. I would like to take a look at something tonight. Something that will help me build faith in God. Well, let's look at Hebrews first. In Hebrews and the 11th chapter, here's something that'll help us with our faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know, there are people today still trying to figure out how the world came into existence. With some faith, I can understand that God framed them. And it just came by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Have faith in God. So I look over in the first chapter of Genesis. And want to build my faith in who God is. Just the very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This God that it's, all these other verses have been telling us, Lord, you have the majesty, you have the power, you dwell, you own it all. We get to start right there in the first, in the beginning, he created it. And it went on down, there were several verses here where God only had to speak. He spoke, and there were things that happened. But you know, I found something that I haven't noticed before. In the later on, it talks about there were some things that he did not just speak and it happened. It says God created the animals. like he put some special attention there. He spoke, and there were trees, there were grass, there was all those things came into existence. But then he created the animals. And you know what? We can build our confidence in who God is by just looking around at the things that he created. Very, you know, sometimes we think faith is a really hard thing to be able to get a hold of. You know what? I believe it's so simple. A child can get a hold to it. If I can believe that, you know what? God created even the animals. And then I start seeing what he did in that. I want to share one of them with you. You ever read about the Holman pigeon? That's just one bird that God created. But it is amazing to me what he did when he created that bird. Gary wanted to have some of them. And Brother James Bell in Tulsa had some. And he said, I tell you what, I'll get you a few of them. Take them to your house. They said, let me give you some instruction, though. Do not turn them loose until you know that they know that this is their home, because they are a home and pigeon. Yeah. So he kept them for about 3 weeks, and he said, they know this is their house. And he turned them loose one day. And Brother James maybe is 80 miles from here. And turned them loose, and you expect them to fly around a little bit and come back to their roost. They flew around a little bit, and they're gone. And Gary doesn't want to tell him, Brother James, I lost your birds. Well, he'd already given them to him, but in a while, maybe a day or so, Brother James calls him, Gary, did you turn your birds loose? Yes, I did, and they didn't come back. Well, they're over at my house. Now, you know, God, this was just what he put in animals.
Yes.
And man has been trying to figure out, how did he do this with a pigeon? How can a pigeon go up in the air maybe 100 feet and decide which way to go home? This is what I wanted to share with you. Now, I don't want you to go home and say, you know what, we learned about pigeons tonight. No, but you know what? If God cared that much for a bird,
yes,
how much does he care for us? It says it has been known for a pigeon to find their way home from as far away as 1,100 miles. They can average in their flight going home 50 miles an hour and have bursts of speed up to 90 miles an hour. It says, despite many scientific studies, no one fully understands. Isn't that something? We are so smart, but we can't figure out how a bird operates. We have not been able to figure it out, how Holman pigeons navigate home across long distances. It says scientists believe that homing pigeons have both a compass and a map mechanism inside them to navigate home. The compass mechanism helps them fly in the right direction, while the map mechanism allows them to compare where they are to where they want to be, which is home. You know, that is amazing. We're just talking about one little thing. In fact, we wish pigeons were sometimes done away with. And this is just one little thing that God created, that if I would stop and say, wow, what a mighty God there is that has created these things. It says the compass mechanism likely, see all these things, well, we think it might be this, likely relies on the sun's position and the angle to determine direction. It says the map mechanism, it's still a mystery. But it says some scientists believe that pigeons have a magnetoreception, relying on the Earth's magnetic fields for guidance. And listen to this. Researchers have found that Holman pigeons have concentrations of iron particles in their beak that would allow them to detect magnetic fields easily. Well, you know what? We can do a lot of guessing. All of those is they're still trying to figure out about the Holman pigeon. And all we need to know, I can't explain how God brought the world into existence. But you know what it would be good for me to do? Is even with a lowly little Holman pigeon to think about, God put something in that bird to be able to fly up 100 feet in the air You know, I have trouble going from one place to another using the GPS. Just, it says turn right here, and I don't think you need to turn right here. I think it must be farther on. It's hard to want to follow it. And that bird just follows instinct.
Yes.
Just because I remember what home was, and it's 1,100 miles away, and can go there. It's just a picture of how big God is.
Yes.
And if he can do that, if he puts that much into a little bird, what does he do for us? What does he want to do for us? And for me to let it build confidence in me, there's a verse in Matthew 6. And you know what I'd like to encourage us all is there are so many things in nature, if we would stop for a little bit and study them out a little bit, every one of them would be just like a burst of light to us of how big God is. I was just thinking recently about the salmon. You know, we're talking about this Holman pigeon can travel that far. And they tell us that this salmon, when it's hatched out in this little stream and it goes out into the ocean, that it has a desire to come back and is able to pinpoint back to where it was hatched to lay eggs again. All of those is just another indicator of how great God is. And so now we have some troubles come our way sometime. And I'd like to look at a verse in Matthew 6. And I want to go ahead and just read these verses. 6 and 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In other words, this isn't saying, okay, I'm not even going to worry about going to work tomorrow because I'm not going to take any thought about these things. No, this kind of thought that they're talking about is those that give you worries, that you wake up at night wondering what's going to come of it. Then he says, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. To me, this is just one more place right here. In the springtime, we have flowers growing. And if we would stop life long enough to just look at the detail that was put in a flower, blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. Amen. Be able to see God in nature, and it just turns my mind more toward God. And if he put this much detail in that just for me to enjoy, how big is he to be able to take care of my problems? And so I look at this one, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, you know, these flowers that are growing, they're going to be gone in just a few days, few weeks, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But here's what we need to be doing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow.
Yes.
The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There was another verse I'd like to look at as we face troubles in our life. In Philippians, four and six, be careful for nothing. You know, we heard a message in the meeting about care. This one is not, well, that's just like in Matthew 6, take no thought for what you're going to eat. This is anxious thought that they're warning us against. Don't have anxious care for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's another little short verse in 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. And When I look at the detail that God has given us, when He created everything that He did in the first chapter of Genesis, He didn't need to give us that much to enjoy. He didn't need to put the color in the flowers and all that He gave for us. But I believe what He really desired was the same thing He desired with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. To be able to see those things and it remind them of how much God loved them. I want to be able to do that same thing myself. There's another verse, one more verse I'd like for us to look at. And that is in Psalms 103. Because the devil would like to cause us when we have problems to look at the problem and forget there's a mighty God that we serve. Psalms 103 and the 13th verse. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. So I think Cheryl might have sent out a song on our congregation WhatsApp. I would like to sing this song in closing because this song kind of tells me about what we've been trying to read about. Take a look at the things around us that God has given us because I think it's a reminder that He wants to tell us how much He cares about us. Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow, they don't toil nor sow, but they're fed by the master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But he's not too busy to care about you. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. I'm glad God gave us things all around us to remind us of Him and His love for us. He cares about us. You know, He could have made the earth look just like the moon. And all you have to do is just dig up a little bit of it and eat it and you can keep on living. But I believe He wanted us to be able to see the good things that He gave us. And they all remind us of Him and how much He cares about us. Let's have faith in God out in the future. And we'll be able to see it in the small things around us. I desire your prayers. Amen.